Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We have Larry Becraft on with us. We're talking about a big, serious problem in the tax honesty community, and that is that there are charlatans, predators among us, who are preying on the good intentions of honest, decent patriots. And Larry, you were talking about the straw man, and basically what they've done is they've just taken a story on the heels. It's easy to show somebody that the government is lying to them about who's liable, and it's easy to show him, you know, that the government is lying to them about what is and is not income and their taxing authority. And once you've done that, then anything you say the government is, you know, that's bad about the government, it becomes credible because the government has built your credibility by destruction of their own.
Yes, true.
And so, you know, that makes it maybe a contributing factor. But let's jump to the phones. These folks have been waiting for a while. Dave in Texas. Hello, Dave. Did we lose Dave, Manny? Okay, well, we lost Dave. How about Adam in Washington?
Hello,
Adam. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm fascinated by this topic because I've certainly heard a number of income tax theories that sound difficult to believe. And I'll say right now, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a legal expert, so I fall into that category of people without complete information. But there's one idea that I heard that sounds too good to be true, and that idea is the idea that wages and salaries are not income. Have you ever heard that idea?
That idea is absolutely true. When you look at what income is, you see, we think of, let me give you a good example to go by, and I probably should let Larry answer this, but since I've already stepped on him, I'm going to finish this out and let him correct me on anything.
Well, Adam's throwing these softball pitches, though. That's the problem.
And, you know, I'll swing at this soft one. You know, insanity is a legal term. It's not a medical term. But we all think that if somebody is insane, they're crazy. They are mentally ill. Now, a mental illness does, you know, insanity isn't a mental illness. Insanity is a mental state based on a legal definition. Now, you can be crazy and not be insane, and you can be insane and not be crazy. But the general public thinks that they're all one and the same. Same thing with income. We think that income is whatever comes in. And that's a myth that has been fostered and nurtured by the government for many years. It is not what comes in. It's only profit. It's only gain. And as a matter of fact, there are cases that say that it's only the income that was described in the 1909 corporate excise tax. But the nevertheless, if you just take the bare bones definition, the legal definition of income is its gain. It has to be separated, derived, identifiable. After replacing your capital, to have left over to spend without any injury to the capital.
Now you're talking about capital. Wages, what about labor?
Well, labor is your capital because the Supreme Court has said that labor is not only your property, but it's your most sacred and inviolable of properties. It's the property upon which all wealth is based. And so, you know, this notion of wages being able to be categorized as income is absolutely wrong. And so what you heard, Adam, was absolutely true. And thanks for the call. We're going to jump right back on those after this break. And I'll give Larry a chance to fill in any gaps I left on that before we do.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
And welcome back. This is Tom Cryer. We have Larry Beecraft with us. And we're talking about the Tinfoil Hat Brigade. We're talking about how the straw man got promoted and invented. And he is just that. He's a straw man. There is no such thing. And yet people are so anxious to believe that there's something he can do to stop the beast that they'll eat just about anything you hand them. Larry, I had about a minute. I tried to cram the definition of income in about a minute and a half that we had before the last break. Did I miss anything critical on that?
Well, no, I would like for people to, you know, having information based on solid information rather than fairy tales is real important. Now, I know that Truth Attack makes available the regulations in a whole bunch of the tax acts, and I would encourage I would encourage the listeners to send a contribution of $50 or whatever it is to Truth Attack to get these CDs of the tax laws and the tax regulations. Now, Tommy, I just simply want to make this point. You know, from the very beginning, the Congress in these various tax acts have, they provided their own definition of what income is. Now, income in the statutes wherein they attempt to define income, you know, the statute uses all these statutes uses this phrase, gains, profits, and income.
And that's right.
And, you know, it's throughout all the acts. Now, I would just like to see people, you know, that phrase, wherever you see that phrase, gains, profits, and income, those are really the operative sections of the tax laws. Now, I would just simply encourage people to get the tax acts And you know, they're all in PDF images. And in fact, you can get a lot of this stuff off the net. You know, I know for a fact because I provided these tax acts and two of these places, and some people have got them posted. You know, download or get from. I prefer you get them from Truth Attack, but get these tax acts and then start doing some very simplistic studies. Go through the tax acts and write down the sections that deal with where the phrase gains, profits, and income shows up, and then go back and study them, and you'll find they're the taxpayers, and that's all I'm going to say.
All right. You know, I raised some cane last night on my program on KCAA, KTAE in Houston and San Bernardino, Loma Linda. I vented quite a bit. I felt a little bit better, but not much, because Sherry's still going to do 48 months because of these snake oil sales, but poisoning her sentencing process. But nonetheless, I did announce at that point a way of identifying these snake oil salesmen, these peddlers, these charlatans, the predators in the community. And I'm going to throw that out and see what you think about this definition. Anyone who tells you that they can detaxify, untax, taxpayer, disconnect you individually from the Internal Revenue Service and the income tax of the federal government, that says that I have a solution for the income tax fraud, but it only will apply to you if you buy this, and it'll apply to you. It'll leave everybody else behind, but you will be safe. That is a fraud. That is a snake oil salesman. Turn and run. Don't walk, turn and run. And go take a shower because you were too close to him if you heard him say that. Now, is that a fair description? Because there is no silver bullet, Larry.
That's true, Tommy.
There's nothing going to make the IRS roll over and say, well, excuse me. You know, you don't have to worry about us anymore. We're taking you off of our mailing list.
Well, it's a steamroller. The government's a steamroller, and a lot of people don't want to recognize that what we got going on in this country is a steamroller. Boy, once they grab a hold of you, you're in for the steamroller ride. And those people in that situation are looking for the silver bullet, you know, to make the steamroller go away. But when that steamroller gets rolling on you, you're in for a long ride.
But if people will realize that we are all either going to win or we're all going to lose, that we have to make this a total solution. In order to solve it for me, I've got to solve it for you and even your evil brother-in-law, who doesn't deserve it. I have to solve it for everybody. We have to solve it for all of us. Because we can't just unplug. There is no unplug. There is no off switch on the IRS that you can throw and rescue yourself and leave everybody else behind.
That's very attractive to people that are in the crosshairs.
Well, sure, they want an easy way. They want a simple way. They want to be able to flip a switch, write a check. I mean, it's easy to write a check. It's not easy to study. It's not easy to learn. It's not easy to get out and spend your weekends talking to people. It's not easy to face the ridicule that most folks do whenever they bring this subject up in public. You know, so it's, the disbelief is frustrating. But what you're doing is that even the ones that don't believe you have heard it, and they can't unhear it. They can't stop knowing that there's an issue. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to persuade them. You don't have to convince them. All you have to do is let them know that there is a genuine issue about this. And then you've accomplished your end. And once people know that, this will grow.
Yeah, that is true.
Now let's go back to the phones. Let's pick up on Richard in Alabama. Richard, are you still with us?
Yeah. You know, I recommend you listen to Ralph Winterroad on Sunday night.
Larry?
Need to listen to him.
What are the latest Ralph Winterroad positions that he's arguing about? You know, I listened to him once. He's sitting there talking about Section 6012 of the Internal Revenue Code. Is that his position?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted you to please listen to him. But anyway, I've got a different subject to bring up here. The Public Law 93-579, Note 7, A1. If that were
okay, clear, now, hey, slow down a minute, because I'm gonna while we're sitting here talking about it, I am actually gonna pull. Have you got the statutes at large site on that?
93-579, Note 7, A1.
Well, 93's, you know, does it have a statute at large?
It's never codified.
Let me write that down. We can continue to talking, but 93 what?
93-579, Note 7.
Okay.
A1.
Let me look it up. Y'all talk, and I'll go find that.
All right. Well, go ahead, Richard. What's your point?
Is that squealing on your end or mine?
I hear some static. I'm not hearing any squealing, so it must be on your end. But
yeah, Richard, I think you're. I'm hearing some static on your end.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's not
but,
codified.
But go ahead.
It's not codified. And if I might summarize it, it means that the Mexicans don't need a Social Security number to open a bank account, and they don't have to file a tax return on the interest they earn, and it's just not subject to IRS examination or seizure.
And that's what you're saying is the substance of it?
It's not codified. If it were codified, it would protect everybody from IRS seizure. But it's not.
Okay, you know, I'm almost one volume, that's 86 stats. I'm just about there.
The Administrative Procedures Act.
Well, there's nothing in the Administrative Procedures Act that has that says what you're talking about.
Yeah, 93-579, Note 7, A1.
Okay, I'm at 93-82, 93-579. Let me. Okay, 93-173. Maybe it's the next volume. 93-203. 93-240-245. So let me check the next volume. Okay, I'm at 93-406. Oh, 406 is kind of long. 445. 555, oops, I'm almost getting to it. 569, 595, went too far. 585. Oh, I'm at 579. Okay, now that happens to be 88 statutes at large, and the act, gee, I hit the wrong thing here. Okay, well, this deals with, this deals with the 1974 Privacy Act.
Well, it's about. Well, I've got a copy of it here, but I don't have it.
Well,
right
what does
here
it say?
Huh?
But what does it say?
Well, I don't have. I haven't got it memorized, but it says that you don't need a Social Security number to open a bank account. You don't have to provide one, whether you've got one or not. You don't have to provide it. And the bank is obligated to open an account for you with no Social Security number. And all the Mexicans are doing that.
All well, you know, I've read through the Privacy Act before because I've had some litigation involved in it. And in fact, the provisions of this act go straight into 5 U.S.C. Section 552, which is the Privacy Act. I've never run across anything that you're talking about. I've never seen that.
Well, I've got a copy of it. My congressman sent it. It's not codified, and it's probably not published, but it is.
Oh, okay. Now, you're talking about it. Well, I've got that posted over on my website. There are some uncodified provisions in it.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, that relates to, you know, I made some the Scott McDonald lawsuit on that very provision, but it relates to Social Security numbers.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have any relationship to opening up bank accounts.
Oh, yes,
it does. I brought some litigation in two states, Alabama and in Texas, on that provision, saying that my clients believe that the Social Security number was the biblical mark of the beast, and I raised that issue there, and the court just looked the other way.
I'm going to break this up
the
for a second here because we're going into a break, and what we're doing is we've got to take a break. Pay some bills, and we'll be back here in just a couple of minutes.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
And welcome back to the Eye Free Zone. We got Larry B. Craft on, and we're discussing apparently an uncodified statutes at large provision that indicates something to the effect, although we can't seem to agree on what the text is on that particular segment. But even if it does say that Mexicans can open a bank account without a Social Security number, I'm not getting out of that that because there's no Social Security number involved, that the IRS can't seize assets. That to me is that's an A to K leap.
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you said that if this law applied to all of us, then the IRS couldn't seize property.
No, I said the documented foreign nationals can take advantage of this. I didn't say that we could. The reason we can't is that it's not codified and no judge is going to help us.
Well, are you suggesting that the Internal Revenue Service cannot seize documented foreign nationals' funds and accounts here?
Not legally.
Because of that?
No, sir.
But why? Because there's no Social Security number?
No, that's not it. It's because they are citizens of a nation. And they are entitled to the protection of the public laws without regard to whether they're codified or not.
But
can I address federal...
I'm having trouble. Maybe you can help Larry with this. I'm having trouble getting from A to K on this because what we've got is a guy that opens an account without a Social Security number, and then we have a conclusion that they can't seize his account.
It's not a conclusion.
Not
a conclusion. It's just observation.
Oh, okay. Well, but it's the statutory language is what we're looking for that you're basing your argument on.
Well, you can't find it. They wouldn't codify it. If they had codified this public law, it would have been disastrous for the IRS. And it is...
Well, I've dealt with I'm afraid, though, that, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm afraid it doesn't say what you think that it says.
A lot of times that turns out to be the case. Well, can you scan that and email it to me?
No, I can't. I don't have internet. And it was really hard. None of the lawyers had any access to it. They went through all of their records and they couldn't find it. But my congressman found it. It's not deliberately not codified and it's not in your LexisNexis. They took it out because they don't want it codified and they don't want anybody to discuss why it was not codified.
Well, that's one of those things that can't be verified, then, apparently.
Yes, you can write your congressman. They can get it for you. It's on paper in there in the Library of Congress.
All right. Okay, well, I appreciate the input, Richard, and I appreciate the call. It was a very interesting precept. But, again, I'm still not getting that A to K connection because there's no Social Security number there. They can't seize the account. Or because somebody is foreign, they can't seize. They seize foreign assets all the time.
Yeah. But he knows it's not in this country.
Yeah. But that, again, though, that's that skipping dots in order to make a rabbit look like a fire truck when you're connecting the dots. Let's go to Ron in Texas. Hello, Ron. How are you doing today?
At your show, I've got a quick question because y'all bumped up against a break a while ago when you were getting ready to give a little bit more information about his name being in all capital letters. And my other quick question in conjunction with that, is there any way to get your Social Security card from the IRS without it being in capital letters, and what procedure would that be?
Well, let me just tell you, I'll respond to this, and to me, the name in all capital letters argument is all full of hogwash and has absolutely no legal substance behind it. And I've asked for the advocates of that to give me some type of legal authority, and as far as I'm concerned, the naming caps issue remains nothing more than a complete theory. The way it got its start, there was an organization called Right Way Law from Ohio back in the early 90s, and they came along and they were advocating civil rights litigation. You know, civil rights litigation is a whole lot of work. But there was this book called Berkemer, who wrote a book about war powers. And the claim was made in there that a name in caps was a nom de guerre. Well, you know, I've never been able to find in Berkemer, you know, that quotation. You know, but nonetheless, it was an idea that was thrown out there in the movement. And since then, it's, you know, kind of had a life of its own, you know, that once you throw out an idea into this movement without the support of any authority, you know, people just kind of grasp onto it and believe it. And my personal opinion is that there's, and, you know, and I've looked for the authority for it. There isn't any. And it isn't some conspiracy by the lawyers. You know, the way that if you go back into, I've got it posted over on my website. You know, if this theory is the results of something that happened, you know, let me give you an example. There was this argument about the Act of 1871. And all sorts of conspiracy theories have been based upon the Act of 1871. You know, I've even read a book called U.S. versus U.S. of A. that's based on the Act of 1871. But nobody could sit there and even give you the cite to that particular act. We'll take up with this after we get back from the break, and I'll make the connection with names and caps.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We have Larry Beecraft on with us. Also, we're talking to Ron in Texas. I guess we carried him over the break. If we didn't, he certainly got his question in. And
all right, Tom, let me ask
the capital letters. What, Larry? What difference does it make if I write my name in script?
It doesn't matter at all.
What if I sign my name in all caps? Does that mean I'm signing somebody else's name?
No, absolutely not. But although there is this idea out there in the movement that there are two different things, that the name in caps is some legal fiction.
Well, I don't know any law that distinguishes between how a name is written. If I wrote it down in Arabic alphabet.
Well, hey, look, Tommy, let me explain to what I was doing before the break. You know, I was talking about this Act of 1871. Now, there were 144 acts in 1871 that were adopted by Congress. So these people come along and say the Act of 1871. Well, you know, which one out of 144? Gross. Well, nobody can tell you. But when you take a look at that, you know, the theory is that, oh, this is the act that took over the United States, you know, the federal corporate government took over the United States. No. All that act did was create a corporate government for Washington, D.C.
Now, that act was in a corporation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were some other previous acts before that. But this one was in effect for about 2 or 3 years, and the commissioners of this corporation, they said, oh, we're going to make Washington, D.C. a beautiful city. So they created so much bonded indebtedness in Washington, D.C., that Congress repealed the Act of 1871, and they didn't do anything with it until 1878. But, you know, the Act of 1871 that these people are talking about is just the theory that it supports is not there. You know, and the act was repealed after a couple of years when Congress had to take it over because the city of Washington became bankrupt. Now, you know, that doesn't support this big theory. Now, the names and caps argument got its start back with Right Way Law when they promoted this nom de guerre. And from there, you know, people have listened to it, and you know, they've added on to it over the years. But there's absolutely no legal substance to it. And the courts have said so. You know, this is the way that we get you, because we are writing your name in caps. Well, the system sits here and says, no, that doesn't have a blooming thing to do with it. And when I sit down and look at this issue and develop the authority for it, you know, I've got over on my website, if this is some new invention since 1871 or my alternative theories starting in 1933, well, then why, pray tell? You know, Tommy, you know, one of the you know, like when you go back in the old English law, you can go back, you can go into the law libraries and pull out, you know, there's a set of books, you know, some very important old English cases. There was a 20-volume set, you know, that was published in about, you know, 1625 or 1650, you know, some very important English cases. Well, you know, I'm looking at a book printed in 1650, and why in the world are the parties' names and caps in these printed decisions? Why is that?
It was going on back then, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I've got that over on my website. So, you know, how can this, if this habit, this legal tradition goes back into the 1600s, how in the world is it something, a recent invention, either from 1933 or 1871? I don't understand it.
Well, it's apparently a lot worse than we had thought. You know, because it's not just the United States government, but other governments are involved in this too.
Yeah. But you know, this idea.
Ron, you know, are you getting the gist of this? The situation is that the fact that they make a practice or a custom of printing your name on Social Security cards a certain way is exactly the same as what Larry was talking about, that all of our pleadings heretofore have been filed on rectangular or squared paper instead of round paper, and so there's some sort of square paper conspiracy going on. You can't get from A to K like that. And whenever people are coming up with simple things like this, something that is a silver bullet, don't eat that, Elmer. Tell them, show me some law that says that there's a distinction between a name expressed in upper or lower cases or in all uppercase. There is no law that distinguishes between those.
I have personal knowledge of this fact, that within the last two weeks, a party went into court with that type of argument. And he was convicted, and of course he spent the night in jail until the judge upped his bond. I think he's bonded out by now, pending sentencing.
He's bonded out, but he's wearing a monitor.
And he
knows that the jig is up, but he's sitting there. He put his stock in this argument that they weren't indicting him; they'd indicted some straw man.
Yeah, his name's in caps.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, thank you so very much for helping get that cleared up.
Hey, look, it's been around for years, and I have personally watched people use the argument in court and go down in flames on it, and then they end up with having no viable issues to raise to keep the battle going. But, you know, for some reason, you know, it seems like Kamel made a statement a moment ago, it seems to be getting worse. I don't know why. You know, I think we need some good legal arguments out there that are being accepted and understood by people in the freedom movement rather than arguments that have absolutely no legal substance at all.
Well, and that's part of the problem, is that with the IRS, we're trying to sit here and say, look, show me the law that makes me liable, that includes me among the set of persons that's liable for the income tax and required to pay it. You turn around to the snake oil peddler and you say, show me the law that says that my name in all caps is a different person or a different entity from me because it's in all caps. And they don't show you the law. They just keep repeating the mantra. And we're running into the same experience with both of them. And we've got people on one side that are believing what the IRS is saying, that we're liable because they say so. And we've got people on the other side of the spectrum who are saying, well, that's not my straw man. And they're believing that. This all caps is their straw man because somebody said so. But where's the law? Where's the law? And if you do these guys and say, show me the law, and then go verify it, don't take a copy as being valid, because as was demonstrated earlier in the program, these copies can be doctored, they can be cooked. So, go back and look for it. Find some basis for it, because there is none. But thanks, Ron. Let's go to Charles in Connecticut. We're running up. We are flat running through this 2 hours. Charles in Connecticut. Yes, sir.
Sure can.
Okay. I called because I listen to RBN quite a bit, and you never seem to talk about the aspect of the code. The code's been with us as long as I've been alive, and I'll probably see it in existence until I die. Why can't you deal with the aspects of the code? Now, spend a little time on the aspects of the code itself. Is it fair? Can it be made fairer? Things like that. I've never heard any discussion on that. And I can give you some specific examples. For example, what is the standard deduction? What is the definition of that? What is the purpose of that?
Let me just tell you, I've got that issue up at the Supreme Court on the Charles Clayton case. And, I got a letter here from the Solicitor General. He's asking for more time. I think he's going to file my application for cert is going to get a response from the solicitor. So that issue actually is sitting up at the Supremes.
What are you trying to do?
We're talking about a couple of layers of skid deeper, I think, that he's talking about, Larry. I think he's talking about where does it come from and what is it.
Well, he asked where it's come from, but that's my argument. I say it's not in the law.
It's not there.
Gentlemen, here's the point I was trying to make. You know, they've got built into this thing has been modified year after year. I don't know how senior citizens can be expected to keep up with the code, but here's one of my key points. There is built within the structure indexing for inflation. However, I have yet to find a way to live without food and energy. Those two items are excluded from the inflation calculation. So therefore, how can...
I don't mean to, let me kind of stop you right there. That's exactly what I said in my petition to the Supremes.
Yeah, so
that's included in there.
That's getting some attention, Charles. It just started getting some attention on the program, and so maybe we should devote some time to discussion of that.
Let me just tell you, in reference to your question, that inflation adjustment is created by the Bureau of Labor Statistics inside the Department of Labor, and there are cases right on the point that say, hey, that's a rule, and it's void if it's not published, and the only place you find the inflation adjustment, the consumer price index, is nothing that's legal, and yet we use that as law. Hey, you're dead wrong. And I hope the Supreme Court, on that point, you're exactly talking about the CPI, which is the issue that I've got before the Supreme Court right now.
Yeah, but what are you trying to do with that? Are you trying to prevent it from being indexed by inflation, or?
I'm saying that the, in the late 90s, there was a report put out. They did a study on the consumer price index. Now, everything is built to, too much is related to the consumer price index. And yet, it is the say-so of some government bureaucrat. It's not calculated as a matter of law.
Right.
And yet, you can manipulate the consumer price index. If the consumer price index is lower than the actual rate of inflation, the government has a benefit. The benefit is, number one, this. Where for all outlays of the government that is calculated according to the consumer price index, there is less outlay than the rate of inflation. Further, if inflation is greater than the quoted consumer price index, Uncle Sam's tax receipts grow, and that's a quote from this this report that came out about the 1998 on the Consumer Price Index. And if you want to read what I've said to the Supreme Court, let me just tell you this. Go over to my website. And the way to get to my website is just type in a search engine, Becraft Briefs. And then look down through there until you find the Tom Clayton, Dr. Tom Clayton, the pleadings in his case. And I've got the briefs that I submitted to the Fifth Circuit in that file, as well as the petition to the United States Supreme Court. And you will see when you read that I've got the validity of the Consumer Price Index squarely presented to the Supreme Court.
Gentlemen, if I could make one issue is the validity of the standard exemption or the absence of it, and therefore an inability to calculate whether or not one is or is not subject to any kind of tax.
Gentlemen, if I could make one concluding statement, I'd like to say this. I wish you'll find time in the future to talk about the tax code, not from trying to abolish it, but the effect that it's having on people today, real living people. And my point is simply this. Because the indexing is not being handled properly and is not being done judiciously, people are being squeezed by the code.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you 100%, but may I add to that? Is that not being done legally?
You see, that's the point that we're trying to make here, the point I'm trying to make, I can't speak for anybody but myself, is that I'm not advocating that there be any change in the law or that they abolish the Internal Revenue Code. My beef is that the government is not following the law as it's written and as it's enunciated by the Supreme Court. And I think that they're bound by the law. I think that they ought to follow the law, and if they do, then people will stop being squeezed because they'll have to stop taking money that is not income, and they'll have to stop taking money from those who are not identified as liable for the tax. I just want them to obey the law the way it is. I don't have any beef with the law. I just want the government to obey it.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in, Charles, and your point.
Thanks for listening.
I'm gonna try to address code issues a little bit more and whatnot. I just try not to get hyper technical with folks, but maybe you got a point there. I'm gonna sure think about it. How about Klaus in Iowa? We are running out of time, Klaus. So what you're gonna have to do is just get your question in, and then we'll hope maybe get some sort of response.
Yeah, let me. All I want to do is give you three references that you might find interesting to look at on your own time at whenever. One is called Legal Fictions by Lon L. Fuller. Stanford University Press, 1967, which was a reprint from the Illinois Law Review, 25 in 1930-31. The second reference is called New Legal Fictions by Peter J. Smith out of the George Washington University Law School, 95 GEO LJ 1435, and you can probably do Google searches on these. And the third one is a book called Jurisprudence or The Theory of Law, printed 1907, John William Salmond, second edition, page 281 in section 112, on the subject of double personality. You might find those interesting. That's all I wanted to give to you.
Well, we appreciate it.
I think you'll find
if you
all...
can email us some stuff on that, and it'd help.
I will. What email address should I use?
Well, mine is Becraft, B-E-C-R-A-F-T.
Right.
At Highway, H-I-W-A-A, that's two A's,
right.
Y.net. Yeah, I'd like to take a look at it. You know, I can pull those law reviews up off of Lexis.
They're all available. The Legal Fictions is the toughest one to find by Lon Fuller. It's a little book of about 140 pages. I do happen to have a copy of it.
That's a real important topic.
Yes, it is. It's a very important topic. And by the way, this new
government is a legal fiction.
Absolutely.
You know, when you refer to government, you're referring to a class or a segment of people here in America.
Yeah. And by the way, this second one, New Legal Fictions, which is an article out of the GW Law School, that was printed in 2007, by the way.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes.
It has the same thing as the one in the 1960s Legal Fiction?
No. A completely different article by a completely different author.
Or do they reach the same conclusions?
I don't know. I haven't finished reading them yet. There's so much.
Oh, okay, good enough. Well, if it's important, you know, send me an email, and I'd like to take a look at what you're reading, too.
Right, right. I've emailed you before.
Yeah, I have my own ideas about legal fictions.
Oh, it's really good stuff. Tommy, what's your email that I can get to?
Cryer Law, CRYERLAW,
uh-huh.
One word,
yeah.
At AOL.com.
Good. I'll send these out to both of you.
Well, I appreciate
it.
I think you'd find them very interesting and fun to read.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Okay, I'll send it out. Talk to you
thank
later.
Thank you, Klaus. All right, thank you much. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And I know we're about to run in, and Larry, I want you to be thinking about this when we get back. These were good men that went down in flames this last 2 weeks. They're not bad people. They're not criminals. They don't belong in prison. I told one of them he deserved to be horsewhipped, but he didn't deserve to go to prison.
Yeah.
And then Sherry gets an extra double sentence because of this. Be thinking about what can we do about it? And we get back after this break. We're going to hear all of this sage advice that I've just put Larry on the spot for. And find out how we're going to solve the problem of the poison in the community.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
And here we go. We have wrapped up another one. 2 hours have flown by. We've had a great time. We've had some great calls. Of course, we've got a great guest in Larry B. Craft. Larry, what are we going to do about the poison in the system?
How are you? I don't know, but you know, I address a lot of this stuff over on my website. There's a favorite patriot issues over on my website where, you know, some of these popular arguments, I'll look at them and give you a report on the legal validity of it. But let me just tell you, Tommy, you know, irregardless of what we do, we try to do, the ones that are out there promoting it, as soon as this, we get off the air on this radio show today, well, we're going to be immediately defamed, so... You know, what can I say?
Well, I pointed out, though, you know, maybe there is cause for suspicion here because, as you pointed out during the break, these Social Security cards are not only, you know, typed out in all caps, but they're on square-shaped paper.
Hey, the difference is we need to be starting to asking the Social Security Administration to give it to us on plastic or papyrus.
That's it.
And that'd make all the difference in the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, then it wouldn't. It wouldn't be squared up paper. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. The truth, it's got to be good enough. For 35 years, I've told my clients, the truth has got to be good enough. The law has to be good enough. And if it isn't, then you just lose. Sorry. But the truth has got to be good enough. I've never settled for anything less. And that we can't settle for less in this movement, where there's too much at stake. We can't be pushing on the wrong rocks. We have to be.
Well, you know, hey, Tommy, the prevalence of these arguments makes the whole movement look bad. And
it
I have
does.
Too many people. Yeah, and I have too many people like Edwin Rears, a good friend of mine. The problem with I talked to Edwin, and he says, "Hey, I don't want to be associated with the flakes."
Yeah.
And, you know, there are lawyers that sit there and they wow, I can't believe this, you know. In fact, it had, you know, Friday afternoon, I was talking to a friend of mine, a lawyer here in Huntsville, and he was kind of laughing at, oh, you're still doing that stuff, huh? You know, we have no credibility because of the flaky arguments that flow through the freedom of.
Oh, and I think that's an added benefit the IRS gets out of spreading these rumors. I think that's why I'm convinced that some of them, if not all, originate in an IRS office somewhere, in a little back, you know, room of an IRS with them chuckling and coming up with what we come up with next.
Yeah. You know, Tommy, while we've been sitting here, I've been watching my email, and of course, Barton Buttes, and I tried to warn Barton Buttes not to get into the stuff that he was in, you know, sending out these drafts drawn on the Treasury of the United States because you recaptured your straw man and you're entitled to, you know, these funds that you got in your Social Security account. And, hey, look, the guy got convicted here recently.
Yep.
But, you know, hey, there are people right now that are promoting stuff that I know are going to get, it's going to get people into trouble. Now, I'll tell you this, you and I will end up defending those people ultimately when they get into trouble, but, you know, we're trying to stop it.
Well, that's the amazing thing about these people who promise the moon is they know they'll never be called upon to stand up in a courtroom and deliver it.
Yep.
You know, that's, well, we only got about 30 seconds left, so I think I'm just going to close with this. Guys, get behind the truth. Don't be distracted by the IRS and their ploys about all caps, and don't be distracted by these projects or theories that benefit no one but the Internal Revenue Service and the government by distracting us, by misdirecting us, by keeping us fragmented, and by discrediting us. Stay with it. Stay the course. The truth is good enough. It's all we need. We just need to get it out there. So we'll see you next week here on the Live Free Zone. And thanks, Larry, for being on the show. You've been a great help.
My pleasure, Tommy.